This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.
Hello there, welcome to you. This is the Territory Story Podcast News Bites. I'm Peter Gowers. I hope you've had a great week thus far. Let's get straight now to the NT Independent and chat with Chris Walsh, the editor. Walshy, how are you, mate?
Hey, I'm good, Pete. It's good to see you again.
It's good to talk to you too. Sadly, we're not talking under circumstances where more is happening. It's just a quiet old news week for you.
Well, I promised you and the listeners something good this week.
Yeah.
Again, I think I delivered.
Yeah, well, I remember I was only thinking yesterday, knowing that I'd be talking to you today about everything that's going on, I was thinking, did Chris say to me that it was the chief minister who was going to resign or someone else that was going to resign this week? And I can't remember. Who did you say? Was it the chief minister? I thought you said Friday or by this day, potentially they'll be gone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I the story that we had that we were working on the time that we last spoke, we just got in hours before and I knew the story was big. And essentially, it's that story now that probably everybody's seen and heard about, I think, across the country, which is that Natasha Files had undisclosed shares in a company called South32, a mining company that actually owns the Gemco mine out at Groote Eylandt. Now, at the same time that she was holding these shares, secret shares, but not disclosing them, she also, as health minister early this year, rejected calls for an investigation into potential heavy metal poisoning of indigenous territorians on the island. So she rejects these calls. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. Yeah. And at no time did she say that she was a shareholder of the company that owns the mine. Yeah. And, and we'll get into it more detail on the weekend, but, we knew that. Look, the BHP shares were always there and disclosed, and Files had, got those Woodside shares, that first controversy. And we knew that she had listed two spinoffs of BHP, Arium, which was formerly One Steel, and another company called Blue Scope Steel. But there was a third spinoff of BHP that she had never listed. Mm. And that was the, of course, South 32. Now, this took many weeks of lining up and getting the share register, access to South 32's share register. I honestly didn't believe that she would actually have them if she hadn't disclosed. But sure enough, 754 shares, according to the register. At no time did she disclose those. Mm. And you think that's a little weird, right? When she's got her share portfolio out to divest those Woodside shares last month,
yeah.
And then she doesn't mention South 32. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it kind of beggars belief. And look, she's obviously rejected the fact that she made decisions based on the fact that she had shareholdings in South 32. The problem is, as it always is, the perception stinks and you can't back away from that.
Well, right, Pete. And so, yeah, and so she's, so Monday that story comes out and the fallout's immediate and everybody's talking about it again, like the first and the second story in this series, the special investigation that we've done into her interests and conflicts and shares. Everybody was all over this. Look, Leo Finocchiaro, the CLP leader, came out Monday morning before Files could say or do anything and called for her resignation for the first time, which was pretty strong in saying, look, she's misled territorians again, and she hasn't disclosed these shares, and her position's untenable. Now, Files was apparently at a funeral in Sydney and on Monday, so then she doesn't make any comment. There's no statement that goes out defending the shares,
yep.
Which, we thought she might try and do. And then we go to get into Tuesday, and we hear that, there's a press conference, and speculation is that she's going to resign. That the whole, delay, deny, cover up, and accept no responsibility template that they use has run its course. There was certainly the delay. They started again by not commenting on Monday. But look, by Tuesday, there you go. She's in the Elsie room. It's called the Parliament House, which we used to call the serious room, where the serious press conferences happened. And so I showed up and I got a front row ticket to the little show, the little performance that we saw there the other day. And it was interesting. Security just kind of waved me through. And, I said, "Yeah, I'm here for the press conference." And they say, "Yeah, sure, go up. We'll buzz you in. We'll unlock the door."
Would you like?
So I walked through,
right?
And yeah. So I walked down the hall and I entered the room just quietly and kind of stand off to the side. But then the journalist noticed me and started making a commotion. And then Files' media advisor took off running down the hall. I thought, surely they're not going to get security and kick me out while she's about to resign.
Yeah.
And I got the sense from the security guards that they were like, "Well, you know, this whole chief minister, she's not really chief minister anymore. She's about to resign. So yeah, hell, go for it. Knock yourself out." So I'm up there and then the advisor came back and said, "Look, she's coming down the hall now." So all the journalists got ready and Files did what she probably should have done a long time ago, which is resign. She appeared to attempt to take some sort of moral high road for the first time, which I don't think is afforded to somebody in her predicament.
Yeah.
But to suggest that, you know, this was an oversight, that she didn't live up to the standards of elected officials, and so she's resigning. But by the way, I'm going to hang out in the lobby here, just like Gunnar did.
Yeah.
And continue to be the member for Nightcliffe, which is bizarre and contradictory in and of itself. She said she hasn't lived up to the standards of elected officials, but I'm going to stay.
But Nightcliffe's fine. It's the whole of the territory I've let down. Nightcliffe don't care, so they're all good.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get into this more on the weekend as well. But it was it's bizarre and it's reminiscent of Gunnar. Remember when Gunnar left? Now, there's a slight difference here in that Files actually faced the music, as it were. Gunnar did a runner, as we know, before Lamley came out to say that he was under investigation by the ICAC. And he took the easy way out and just did this drop surprise resignation. And but the similarities here are interesting in that Gunnar stayed around also as a member for Fannie Bay, which was strange, for a little while. And then he left a couple months later. But that was the reason he did that was to have influence on who the next chief minister would be, which he wanted to be Manison. And then that kind of blew up in his face. Now, we'll see what happens with Files. And if she's done this to try and persuade her colleagues to pick a certain person, we don't know. But I'll tell you now, this has got days even past Gunnar. The situation we're in right now as Wednesday afternoon is very reminiscent of the bad old days of the CLP Giles government, where who's the chief minister was a common refrain from that time. I think a local radio station did a song. Will the real chief minister please stand up? Please stand up.
Yeah, look, it's going to be interesting. And Chris, I'm going to say something now, which with the benefit of hindsight, which we'll have tomorrow, and when we record the weekend edition, my advice to the government is do not pick someone who is part of the problem. Try and find a solution. And part of the problem means, as we know, there's, I don't know if it's an investigation or what you call it, but we know that the cabinet should have stood in sooner than this and pressured the chief minister into a number of things, which they didn't do, which kind of make them complicit by... lack of action in what's eventually happened. So if you're going to throw someone up who's been part of this 7-year train wreck, I don't think that's going to end well for you. You need to rebrand, rejig everything, so that come August next year, you're actually a chance at keeping the government side of things. Otherwise, you'll throw it down the drain.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right, Pete. But look, yeah, everyone in cabinet is tainted, not only by the fact that they took no action against Foss, which they were obligated to do under the cabinet handbook. And they just hid out. They just thought, well, we don't have to do anything. No, they were obligated to do something none of them did. Now, this is also reminiscent of what they've been doing for years, too, which is not answering any questions about the investigation into Gunnar and other ministers. And one of those ministers who were on those flights, I'm talking about the 2020 election campaign. Investigative series we did then that showed that they were using taxpayer money to fly around to different electorates on polling day in remote communities in tight electorates. Nobody's come forward still to denounce that and pledge not to use taxpayer money again to get reelected this time. So look, yeah, to your point, you're absolutely right. They're all tainted by something, but I don't know what. You know, anyone who comes would have to be outside of cabinet. I mean, those are pretty slim pickings there. And even in cabinet, though, and look, some of them have come along after the 2020 election, but I didn't think that it was going to turn into this messy of a situation. And right now, Pete, like, it is so messy because, look, late last night, I got a call from a source with Party saying it's a done deal. It's Eva Lawler and Chancey Pay.
Wow.
And I said, oh, my good God, like, you're going to be laughed out of the Northern Territory.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to take that serious. You might as well run the white flag up right now and say we're not contesting the next election because
you guys have it.
Those two, unbelievable. But then, and you know, but what it kicked off yesterday was shortly after Files resigned that Manison puts out a statement saying that she's seeking the leadership and will be talking to her colleagues. And she's the one who has the experience to lead. And that,
I almost choked when I heard that comment. When I read that, I was like, you are kidding. You got the experience of destroying everything you've touched, but that's it.
Every portfolio she's failed in. Tourism, police, treasury, the list goes on. Just a total failure. And the thing is, she then thanks Files and says, Tash has put the territory first. Well, she hasn't for the 19 months that she was in power. It's a joke. But the other part of this, Pete, politically, was very stupid for Manison to do this, is that pisses off caucus.
Yeah.
When you're trying to make it sound like you're the presumptive winner and leader, and that you're the best one for it, to put out a release, you don't do that until you have the numbers.
And
then you start doing that. She did that from Bali, of course. She sent the statement saying she was cutting her holidays short. Look, it is such a mess because now, and then so you were thinking it was Manison, Bowden potentially, and then last night it emerges that it's Eva and Chancey, which is just so ridiculous, but really no more than the other matching.
Well, maybe.
But today now the unions, we're being told, have got involved to prevent the Eva Chancey ticket. And so
on what grounds? Which one don't they want?
Well, just political expedience, and it's just politics. Like, you wouldn't want those two people leading.
Yeah.
So it's going back now to a Manison Bowden ticket, it looks like. But look, right now, man, it is such a mess, and there's such infighting going on.
Yeah.
You know, when that happens, where they think that there's a done deal and they got people, and then the unions start influencing, and they're fighting amongst themselves of who gets what and what portfolios. Like, this is a mess, and we don't know who the chief minister is right now. And why they would, why Files said, look, I'll resign officially on Thursday. Well, you know, why are you? Well, she should have done it today.
Like,
she
should have done it
immediately, man.
Or what's the reason for that?
Or she's shredding documents in the back office. I don't know. But but you don't do that politically. Like, they could have got it done today, Wednesday, and they should have got it done on Wednesday. But now she's given it another day for this to happen, for this infighting to go on. And like I said, it's like the CLP days where they were always fighting and trying to look after each other. And meanwhile, the territory's at a standstill because we don't have a leader and we don't know what the hell's going on.
And look, there's every chance that will be sorted by the time we do the weekend edition. But I just want to put this out there now because I was going to wait till the weekend, but actually for because of the timeline, it may not work. I was utterly gobsmacked that Mano would come out and say that Tash put Territorians first. Let's be 1,000,000% clear. Tash put Tash first at all times until it was untenable, and then she put Territorians first. And really, it was only because she had to. At no point, please, please, anybody listening, do not think, and I'm sure you don't because you listen to this, she put Territorians first at any time. And Chris, I have the best article to read on the weekend edition that I've saved all week. And I'm going to read it to you, and you'll absolutely love it.
Great. And look, we're going to talk more about the lies that, you know, Files continued to tell to the very end, even during her press conference, and how she didn't know about the shares. Like, anyone buys that. But, look, we're just in a state of chaos here politically in the NT right now. And the Labor parties.
We've been in chaos for years, but now it's a different
political.
Thing.
And it's just like the CLP days, man. I'm telling you, it's a real mess. And we're gonna have a lot to explore. might as well. A lot of people might as well. It's just crazy, and so much to get through on the weekend, Pete.
Yeah,
we're gonna have a real good chat, and it's changing the face of the NT politically right now. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to it, Chris. It'll be our final episode for 2023, and it'll be good to go out on a high.
Yeah, absolutely, Pete. We'll see you then.
See you then. That was Chris Walsh from the NT Independent. Weekends with Walshy, back again on the weekend. That'll be released around 7 a.m. Saturday morning. Final episode for 2023, or the Christmas episode, we could also call it, although we won't be talking about Christmas at all, so we'll just call it the final episode. We'll catch you then.
That was the Territory Story News Bites for this week. Thanks to Opie Dennis Digital Marketing, your local digital marketing agency.